Vil du gerne have din egen ladeboks, men kun hvis det er en boks uden bæks og baks? Lige præcis sådan en ladeboks kan du nu få hos OK for kun 4.995. Naturligvis inklusiv standardinstallation. Du bestemmer selv, om der skal følge en serviceaftale med, for det er jo din helt egen boks. Det er OK Energi.
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through Geico, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.
Det er tid til at gå bag om facaden. Yeah! Velkommen til Behind the Vinyl med Darren Edwards og Niklas Müller. My Rock.
Alrighty, we're back. Another edition of Behind the Vinyl. We're here with Niklas as per normal.
Yes, sir.
And this week we have Chris Carl from Five Finger Death Punch.
Good to be here, man. Thank you very much.
Good to have you over, man. Good to see you again.
Good to be here as well.
You're looking
like,
well.
Like I said, you're looking like you're getting some muscle over there. I'm, I usually like one of the bigger guys in the room.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Now I got Tommy out here out on the road with us, Tommy Vex.
And Tommy's a big boy.
Here also. Well, I got to get my power blocks out tonight. I'm definitely lifting before we get on stage.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to the show.
Yeah.
You know, you got a new record coming.
Oh, yeah.
Big show. The biggest. We were just saying this is the biggest. It's an ice hockey hall. We're at the hall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the stage has for a sold out show, the stage has a normal place. This, it is pushed so far back, you can barely walk past it, you know? So it's
very nice.
A lot of people in there.
Yeah, this is one of those runs when we were originally scheduling the run. We were going to bring out all the fire and everything, but we weren't going to bring out the knucklehead skull with the bats that you see behind it because
we
couldn't afford it at that point. But things have sold so well on this tour in pre-sales and whatnot that we were able to bring full production over here. So we're really happy with the way things are going and to be able to bring the full package. And yeah, it's one of those things just like, you know, every day just looking at life and being like, This is my life now.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Love it.
But you've done well in Sweden for a long time now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've done...
I remember a gig at Sweden Rock Festival. It was just like, it was every single guy... girl at that festival was watching Five Finger.
Yeah, we did a signing there at Five Finger at Sweden Rock Festival. I don't know whether you can remember. It was the biggest.
Oh, was that, with the line?
The line went for like a kilometer and a half down.
Yeah, really
it was the biggest signing I think that's ever happened over there.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, so it was amazing.
Yeah, you guys have been very, very supportive over here. It's amazing to me that we can be a Las Vegas band.
Right.
And draw the numbers of people and touch and reach the numbers of people that we are this far away from home. So,
Yeah.
Again, just grateful every single day.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to kind of contradict you a little bit there.
Okay.
You may come from Las Vegas, but you're more of a global band. There's bands that are more global.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Five Finger is one of those. Yeah, obviously Zoltan doesn't come from Vegas, so...
We don't really know where he comes
from.
he's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when you're inside the bubble of being in a rock band, you know, you're dealing with the day-to-day, just hanging out with your friends, being in a rock and roll band. You know, it's kind of like being in the eye of a hurricane where it's calm and peaceful on the inside and the winds around you can't even begin to fathom all the stuff that's going around.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably good that I'm still humble where it's like, you know, I'm like, oh, no, you know, we're Las Vegas band. That's up to you guys to tell me that we're bigger than that. I can't say that. Yeah, I don't even think about that. So, you know, again, gratitude today. That's the theme.
Love it. Cool. Alrighty, we're going to jump into it. We're going to talk about Kiss, their first record. Let's start the show off, and we're going to play the opening track. Let's play Strutter, and we'll be back in a sec.
She Klassikere under lup. Behind the vinyl på My Rock.
Changed it all for me. The very first time that I saw Gene Simmons on TV, it was a show called 321 Contact over in the States.
Right.
And they had a thing talking about like the road crew and all the stuff that they did. And I remember seeing that. And at the age of 3 or 4, I saw him doing it. And I was like, whatever he's doing, I don't know what he's doing, but whatever it is he's doing, that's what I want to do. And
Wasn't that the Dynasty show?
I think so.
You see they put the stage together and all that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Talked about the full setup and all that stuff. And I just remember they were talking about like the black confetti that was coming back.
Exactly, right.
All spots of black.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. True.
That stuck with me. And, you know, here I am, my tongue out in every single picture I take, seems like. Because it happens, man. It happens. You know, you mimic your idols, and that's one that... I have grown up watching and idolizing. I actually got to meet them when we opened up for them in Germany a couple of times. We opened up for them in Berlin and somewhere else. And, yeah, just playing before Kiss in front of the Kiss audience was, again, life-changing. Just life-affirming. Like, okay, I'm on the right path. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. So.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, after seeing that episode of 321 Contact, I had my mom take me to a store called Gold Circle back in the States. And they had records there, and I used my allowance to buy the very first Kiss record. And that was the first Kiss record, first record ever that I bought with my own money.
Oh,
love
that's
it.
Nice.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Nice. So,
it's a funny record. You know, the record came out in February 18th, 1974.
Yeah.
And for the greater part, it didn't really do good.
No, I mean, it took a while for Kiss.
Yeah.
It took a couple of years.
I wasn't even born yet, so it took 3 months for me to even be alive.
Yeah, exactly.
So it moved on, and I think it was after Alive.
That's when they were starting to take off.
That's where it kind of kicked off, and that's also definitely. Where it wasn't until 1977 where this album really kicked in.
Right. Yeah.
Went gold.
Yeah.
You know, and like Kiss then shot up, as did this record. But looking at it, this as a record is fucking phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, Strutter being still a staple in their live show to this day. Yet it was the first song released, you know?
Yeah.
Written pre-Kiss. Written with Wicked Lester.
Wicked Lester, oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's just a riff coming out of the gate on that thing, and man, Paul's vocals on it. It's an incredible kickoff track to a 40-year career at this point now.
Yeah.
And it all started off with that song right there. So they started off with a bang and have continued doing many more bangs around the world in every sense of the word in the last 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But all those, I mean, a lot of those songs, like Strutter, Nothing to Lose, Firehouse, Cold Gin, Deuce, and even 100,000 Years are songs that they've been in the set list for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. I remember the song Kissing Time.
Right, yeah,
on
yeah.
There. I was from Lexington, Kentucky. And I was like, yeah, they're naming all these cities. Where is it? Where is it? Nope, come on. Come on. Lexington, Kentucky, come on. No, all right. You're kissing in Cleveland, I guess. All right, fine.
Well, funny you mentioned Kissing Time because it actually wasn't on the first record.
No.
It didn't come until, it was actually recorded months after it came out.
Yeah.
And then
tie in with a kissing contest and and all that.
Exactly.
And work that.
So. And obviously they reprinted the record later on in that same year in 74, and that's where they included it.
Yeah, and that's
to their disapproval.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's one of like not the holy grail, but for Kiss collectors, it is to find the first Kiss album without Kiss in Time.
Do you know offhand how many copies of that were out there before they reprinted it?
I have no idea.
Yeah, man, that would be a cool one to find.
But it's usually an expensive one. And there's also, you need to find the first Kiss album with, I think there's I think that's when they added Kiss in Time, and there's a pink Hyper sticker on the album. That's another one of those expensive ones out there.
So. Yeah.
Well, it sold 75,000, I heard. Before it kicked off.
Right.
You know,
right,
before. Yeah. So whether that was the first edition or whether that was, you know, maybe both the first and the second combined.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so definitely 75,000 or under.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And at this point, I wonder how many are still out there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, life happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. She'll adore you and she'll blow you with her wisdom and her vision. And you'll love it and think of it.
Behind the Vinyl. My Rock. Behind the Vinyl på My Rock.
Yeah.
But it's funny also with the makeup and all that. I mean, the only one that really looks like he then continued to look is Paul Stanley.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because Ace Frehley got the like silver hair and jeans makeup is weird. Peter Criss's makeup is really weird.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you know, like someone drew a cat face on him at a fair somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, there's a great story where they did for the release of the record. They played and they were distributed by Warner Music back then.
Right.
And Warner Music went to the release party and they were all done up in their makeup. And I think Gene at that stage was already, I think he was blowing fire or he was right, doing something. And they were like, no, this is not going to happen if you don't get rid of that makeup clean up. Yeah. We're going to kill the deal for the whole label because Casablanca was being distributed by them. And sure enough, to their word, Neil Bogart, the manager, was that?
Casablanca Records.
Yeah. No, it was Bill O'Coin.
The manager.
Bill O'Coin said, no, we're not going to do it. And Warner let him go.
Right.
And lo and behold, it's probably the worst decision he could have possibly made.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, just from merchandising alone.
Oh, absolutely.
Get part of that. My God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine back in the day? I mean, they were the first to do the big light-up sign.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
And we're used to that kind of stuff now.
Absolutely.
I mean, we got Pyro out here on our stage and you know, the massive knucklehead up there as well.
Yeah.
And before Kiss, no one was doing that.
No.
You get up there and you had a backdrop, maybe.
Right, yeah.
Hand-painted by your buddies that lived down the street that were in art school.
Yeah.
And that's what you played in front of. And just imagine that first concussion bomb walking out and just like, what in the hell is happening here?
Yeah.
I can't imagine just for that time coming out and doing that thing. And to have the forethought and the foresight and the imagination to come up with all
this
stuff.
The imagination to have a drum riser, to have the different levels, that you know, the walkways, you know.
And a lot of that, like later on, was Sean Delaney, who was like, he was the co-manager or whatever, but he was in charge of all the effects and all that stuff. And he came up with all these ideas. Right. And with the fire breathing as well, I know that someone, I can't remember, well, someone suggested... and they brought in a fire breather and said this would be a cool effect, and no one in the band wanted to do it. So it just, you know, but they kind of went like, well, somebody has to do it. And it was like, okay, Gene, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, I was like, I'm the star child. You went with the demon persona, so I'm sorry. That's going to have to be you. It doesn't make sense for the star child to be blowing flames, right?
Exactly.
You're either the demon or you're not, Gene.
That's so true.
I wonder when, and maybe you can answer this, because I wonder when they decided that Paul Stanley was going to be the lead singer. Yeah, because the first single, you know, Gene Simmons is singing, you know.
Yep.
Gene is probably on half of these tracks here.
Right.
I'm just wondering whether, when was it made? When was the decision made that it was Paul Stanley? Because for me, I'm more of a Gene guy.
Yeah.
Gene definitely singing
and
as well.
Early on, like the bootlegs or the first shows they did like in 73, and there's even footage when they play the Coventry. When they play their last two shows, it's out there and showed up a couple years ago. But on way back then in 73, when they were really starting out, Peter Criss is the one doing he's the one talking to the audience and, you know, getting the people going and all that. It's not Paul and it's not Gene. So Peter, and I've discussed this with a friend, when did they decide that Peter wasn't the guy to do it? Because it was real, come on, doing all that stuff. And then it turned to be Paul, who became the, I don't know, it was the better looking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Paul being the quiet one back then?
No, not at all.
My God.
Not at all.
We're talking about Kiss, we get going. Management just came in, I was like, oh, we've only got a couple more minutes.
Yeah.
We're talking about Kiss right now. All right, calm down.
Behind the Vinyl.
Behind the Vinyl. Med Darren Edwards og Niklas Müller. My Rock. Klassiker under loop. Behind the Vinyl på My Rock. We'll be right back.
Well, there's a couple of, let's run it through quickly. Yeah. Nothing to Lose. Now, this cracks me up. So it's February 1974. Nothing to Lose was the first single out.
Yeah.
It's about anal sex.
Exactly.
1974.
Which I learned, like, way, like, when I was, you know, probably in the late 80s or something like that.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
Obviously, not many people did. No, put exactly. That out as a single pair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
A nice little dual entendre, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And with the happy ending, turning out that she actually enjoyed anal sex. You know, it's...
exactly.
I thought it was quite great.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the other one is Cold Gin is another song that obviously, it was the first one Ace Frehley wrote.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that Ace Frehley wrote it.
Yep.
But you know, Paul and Gene have said they've never had any alcohol
exactly.
or anything
right.
like that.
Yeah.
And it's like
yeah.
the big Kiss song.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Any cover band that you ever go see, there's a good chance that Cold Gin is going to be
absolutely.
In there.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
everybody hanging out drinking, and it's like a big drinking song, and the dude singing it never had a drink of alcohol in his life.
No. And the current Ace Frehley, Tommy Thayer.
Yeah.
You know, his first band. Well, his one of his main first bands was yeah. Cold Gin, which yeah. was a cover band yeah, it's quite yeah. a funny little.
It's like the movie rock star, you know.
Absolutely,
yeah, true.
Come to life.
Yeah,
sure.
And also Paul, when he was like during the '70s and even in the '80s, when he was introducing Cold Gin. And even on Alive, it's like, well, you have a little bit of tequila, and you have Peter Criss running, and you have a little bit of whatever it is.
Yeah.
But he never drank, so that's funny.
I love it.
Yeah.
And let's just touch quickly on your bass playing style. Lot of influence from Gene?
Bass playing style-wise, probably not. I mean, Gene's a great bass player. His style is different from mine because with Death Punch, you're creating a massive wall of guitars, and a lot of the time... you don't have a lot of room to move around with a moving bass line with the stuff that we do. When we do some slower stuff, there's more room to breathe and kind of do some of that. So you do hear some of the Gene Simmons influence in that. But, yeah, Gene was the master at just walking around the guitar line
right.
the whole time. There's always something else going on and very underrated. I mean, people talk about the spectacle of Gene Simmons, but when it comes down to musicianship, you really don't hear a whole lot about, oh, he's one of the great bass players. And, I mean, my God, some of the stuff I'm just trying to think off the top of my head off of this record here. Yeah, I mean... any of the songs on this thing, always moving around, never really following note for note from what the guitar is doing. He's writing his own piece on there, and it's genius. And to be able to sing and play some of those lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you're going off to different records, you know, Detroit Rock City.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, doing that kind of thing, it's he's dude's incredible. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But I talked to Dave Ellison about that as well, mm-hmm. and he was just praising Gene and saying the same thing, that he's like, he never gets the credit for being a great bass player. You never hear that.
Yeah, because he's got so many other things that he's incredible
at.
And has changed the face of music.
Yeah.
You think about all that stuff, but when it comes down to it, the musicianship and his bass playing, beautiful stuff. And you can tell the Paul McCartney influence out of him.
Right.
You know, same thing where...
Yeah.
You know, walking bass lines, different from what the guitar is doing. And like the Beatles, you got everybody singing in the band.
Yep.
You know, so it's the Beatles with concussion bombs and face paint, man.
There you go. Yeah. Chris, we got to move on. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you.
It's a pleasure. Everyone go and check out the new album from Five Finger Death Punch coming in February.
Yep.
We look forward to seeing the show tonight.
I enjoy that our record comes out February 28th of this year, while
there you go.
Yep. Kiss was also on February 18th, 1974.
It's got to be a sign.
If it isn't, I just made it one.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, man.
Thank you, guys. Awesome.
Behind the Vinyl på My Rock. Pictures on the beguile. Got you under their thumb. Hit it! Vend pladen, og sidste nummer er spillet, så er Behind the Vinyl slut. Tough luck.
Darren og Niklas er tilbage næste søndag kl. 16 med endnu et klassisk album. Og indtil da kan du fange denne og alle de forrige episoder som podcast på radioplay.dk/myrock. Adios.